want to thank all of y'all for being here. It's great to see everyone out here this morning. Got a pretty day to be out, so that's always good. It's nice when it works out that way. You know, here in America, we are so blessed to have the freedom of speech. It is something that was purchased in a way by a lot of blood, sweat, and tears over the years. It's something that we appreciate as Americans. And this freedom is a wonderful thing, but all too often we use that freedom to gripe and complain and things of that nature. And this practice just seems to be the American way sometimes. It's just something that we get entirely too used to, possibly. Well, James warned all of us who are Christians about the use and misuse and abuse of the tongue. He said in James chapter 3 and verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." Now, much of this whole chapter 3 in James warns about misusing our tongues and our speech. Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 12, verses 36 and verse 37, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." It's something to take very seriously. It's something to think about. It's something not to take lightly. And our lesson text today is something, if you have your Bibles, you might open up to this particular passage, because we'll be kind of working our way through that and referring back to it. And I'll have other scriptures going up there at times, but just keep in mind, this is our lesson text for today as far as that goes. And Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32 tells us, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And malice is supposed to be put away right along with everything else, is the idea there. Then he goes on by contrast, notice in verse 32, and he says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So these two verses are very much in sharp contrast one to another. And in this lesson, this verse 31, it talks about warning against the evil feelings as well as how they express themselves in evil speaking in our words. And then verse 32, by contrast, tells us to cultivate good feelings one toward another, being kind and patient and forgiving. So in this lesson, I would like to examine what the Bible says concerning the negative actions that Paul, by his inspiration, warns us about in verse 31. This first one, get going on the right connections here. But anyway, get that first verse in verse 31. Talk about that first of all, and then later on in the lesson, talk about the importance of cultivating good things toward others. But I want to begin by a definition of terms, and keep your Bible opened if you have it to that passage as we go down through this. And these definitions are all by Hendrickson in his work. But I want us to notice the first one in verse 31 talks about bitterness. And he defines that saying the settled disposition of one who is resentful. And then secondly, he names wrath in this passage, and he defines that, says, like a roaring furnace, settled indignation. And then anger talks about that being strong, sudden antagonism, explosive, even potential murder. And then clamor is defined by him as yelling at others, a lot of boisterous, loud, you know, that kind of thing. And then evil speaking, as it's translated in the King James Version, the American Standard Version translates it as railing. And Hendrickson defines it as blasphemy, speaking against God or man. And then malice involves taking delight in inflicting hurt or injury to others. None of these things are good things, brethren, and that's what this verse is bringing out, to put these things away from you. Notice he says, put away from you these things. And when we find ourselves in a group of people and someone begins to be critical of someone else. We need to be careful not to join in on hammering that person down a little bit further, but instead we need to take the high road. And the Bible talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 3 in verses 8 and 9. He says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering," notice what he says, "not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but on the flip side, by contrast, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." You know, if others, and sometimes they're not tearing someone else down, they're tearing us down, you know. And what happens when someone tries to tear us down? Well, we want to say, well, you're the pot calling the kettle black. You know, we want to turn it back on them. We want to attack them if they're attacking us and defend ourselves. We don't want to shove them back down to try to build ourselves up. That's the wrong approach. We don't want to go that route. We don't want to say, "I'm sorry you feel that way." That's kind of like that. You know, it's okay. Return it. Take the high road. Return it back to them in a better way. Don't just retaliate and pick on them again like they're picking on us and that kind of thing. But it's much better to try to turn it around. And as the saying goes, to take the high road. Paul instructed the Galatian brethren concerning helping those who were struggling with a problem in their lives. And he says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And also Paul warned in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, and he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice," notice the word malice again, "living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." But notice also, it's all past tense. They put it behind them. They're not that way anymore. They put that away. They strove to put that away from them and not be like that. And that was the idea, and that's what we need to do, is put away that type of behaviors and that type of things. And of course, it starts inside, does it not? It manifests itself in our tongues and our speech and things like that. But a lot of times it starts right here on the inside, and that's the place to start to fix it as well, is start on the inside and allow it to work its way out. But notice also Matthew 5 and verse 22 it involves that kind of thing. And it says in Matthew 5, 22, and this was in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and he warns us, saying, "Whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment." And also Matthew 5, 23 and 24, the next verses, goes on to say, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Now, granted, under the New Testament, we don't offer sacrifices as such, but we do make contributions, and we do give of our time as well as our means and involve ourselves in worship and that sort of thing. And we don't want to do that grudgingly. We don't want to do that in an angry way. You say, "Well, got to do this. I'm compelled to do it. Don't really want to." But no, that's the wrong attitude. We don't need to have that kind of attitude. But giving to others should be something that we do gladly. It's something that we 2 Corinthians, for example, 9 and verse 7, talks about the fact, I don't have that one up there, but it talks about the fact that it is possible to give of our means in a grudging way in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. We don't want to do that. We need to realize that holding a grudge can interfere with our worship. That's the idea. And he talks about in Matthew 5 and verse 22 through 24 how that anger and grudges against brethren can interfere with the alms that they were giving. Well, that's certainly true of us with our worship service. If we're holding a grudge, if we're being angry with someone else, we've got issues with some people in the brotherhood, it's not good for our worship. It's not good for us to focus on and talking to God and worshiping God and bowing down in front of Him in prayer and so on and leading. It gets interfered with. And that's the idea. Don't hold a grudge. Don't be grudging one another and having problems one with another. Get it taken care of. Get it resolved. And fix whatever needs to be fixed. 1 Peter 4 and verses 9 through 10 tells us this. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, giving to others should be something that we do gladly. And that's the idea of when we have something to give, we're blessed, brethren, that we have something to give, that God has blessed us with something. And you can't give away something you don't have, you see. That's the idea. So we've been blessed to have something. It's nice and a blessing that we can give it to others. And we should do so when we can, and not in a grudging way, but in a joyful way, in that, well, I'm thankful I had something to give. You know, that's the attitude that is a good attitude to have, and we should cultivate that as we go along. James chapter 5 and verse 9, I've already put that up there, but it talks about grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. You know, if we're harsh in our judgments, guess what? It comes back to us, does it not? You know, I love the illustration, for every one finger that you point out, you got three coming back at you. Is that not the case? We need to be careful in how that we judge others, because, like you say, the three is coming back at us. We need to resolve conflicts. You know, it's certainly possible to have conflicts, brethren, with one another. And Jesus gave instructions concerning how to resolve some of these conflicts. He starts in Matthew 18 and verse 15. He says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now notice what the goal is, brethren. Notice what the goal is. You want to gain that brother. That's what they want. That's it. We don't want to hammer them down a little deeper when they're having a problem. We don't want to pull the rug out from the kick. No, you want to bring them back. You want to get them back in a good relationship with you. That's the goal. But what do we do sometimes? Well, you know, we push this one down so it makes us look a little higher. Did we not? Is that? But we don't want to do that. That's the wrong attitude. We need to cultivate a better attitude of getting that reconciliation going. But then it continues. The instructions continue. Yet if one who has erred, he goes on to say in verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. But still, keep in mind, the goal is to bring them back in. You're trying to help them repent. You want them to repent. You want to resolve the conflicts. You want to solve the problems. And yet, if they're still unwilling, it talks about the next verse in verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. But still yet, the goal is repentance. And we see this also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And he says, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that notice that he may be ashamed. Again, you want him to turn things around. You want him to change. You want him to do better. And that's the idea of the rest of this verse. It says, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. He's still a brother. He's still a sister, or she's still a sister. We still want them to repent. That's the idea. We want to turn things around. We want them to get back into the fold, get back into God's good graces as well as our own, and that kind of thing. So we want to follow this formula to resolve conflicts and solve the problems of that nature. But now I wonder, if you still have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at verse 32 for the remainder of our lesson. Notice Ephesians 4 and verse 32 tells us, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And again, that's the rest of our lesson text. And we are to be kind one to another. Now my question is a rhetorical one. Is gossip a form of kindness? We know it's not. We're not being very kind to someone when we're gossiping about them. when we're just, you know, beating them down. That's not a good thing. The word gossip is not found in the King James Version of the Bible, but the word backbitings is, and we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. It says, "For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and I shall be found unto you as such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults." And Thayer defines this word, as far as the backbitings, as defamation, evil speaking. And it's also mentioned in Romans 1 and verse 30 with a list of negative behaviors. It says that backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. And also Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter, let's see, getting ahead here. There it is. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13 concerning young widows. It says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." Now, being a tattler or a busybody is something we need to stay away from. We're not being very kind to someone when we're tearing down their character. But now, granted, we sometimes do talk about people. We sometimes do get together with all the people and say, you know, this person's having a problem. The goal should be to fix it. We collaborate sometimes, and we put our heads together and say, okay, what can we do to help this person? And I think that's fine. That we need to do stuff like that. We need to work together to try to help each other. And that's a good thing. And we're talking about somebody, but it's not in a negative way. We're not trying to shove them down so we can lift ourselves up a little higher. No, we're trying to help them out. That's the goal, and I think that's fine. We sometimes need to do that. But keep in mind the danger of just running somebody down to make ourselves feel better. That is what I'm talking about with the backbiting and the gossip and the defamation of someone's character, just tearing them down and for whatever motive. It's usually to make us feel better. But whatever the motive is, we don't need to do that. But we do need to strive to help one another. And sometimes that involves talking about a problem that somebody else has. But the latter part of this verse, getting back to that, notice the latter part of it says forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We need to forgive others. We need to keep that in mind. In the example where someone had been overtaken in a fault, as we talked about from Matthew 18, we want to gain thy brother. That's the idea. As I've stressed, you know, that's what it talks about in Matthew 18 and verse 15. Is that's the goal. Where do I have it? Well, anyway. It's the goal to get that brother back in the fold. We want them to be forgiven. But also look at what Matthew 6 and verse 14 and 15 says. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And he goes on to say in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again." Brethren, if we want forgiveness, we need to give forgiveness. That's what it comes down to. We need to be forgiving of others and keep that. And if we want to be forgiven, that's necessary for us to forgive others and be willing to help a brother or sister when they repent and when they need help. We need to be careful not to gossip or tattle and backbite those who are struggling with a sin in their lives. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 talks about the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, it's important that we be patient with those who are dealing with things, problems in their lives. They may be dealing with an addiction in their life. They may be dealing with a trial in their life or some other problem that they're having in their lives. And all too often, we expect them to fix it tomorrow. You know, we expect them to get over it. to just shake it off and come on. Well, it shouldn't take a month. It shouldn't take a week. It shouldn't take... Well, who knows? You know, brethren, Jeannie's been gone about 4 years. I struggle still with grief. There are and those of you who are widows, you know what I'm talking about, or widowers, you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't go away entirely. You're going to have to deal with that probably for the rest of your life to some extent. Now, does it get better? Thankfully, yes, it does get better. But it doesn't go away. It's not something you're going to fix overnight. And there are other problems in our lives that are in a similar fashion. There are other things that cause us to stumble. There are other problems that come along. And we can't expect them to get better overnight. But watch this. Don't expect it of your brethren. Don't expect someone over here and say, well, they ought to get over that. That's no big deal. Well, it's not for you, maybe. But they're not you. They may struggle with something. And they evidently are, or they wouldn't be falling flat on their face so many times. But we need to be able to help them up. Don't push them down lower, but help them. That is how we should be. As this verse says, again, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. But look at the rest of it. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Just remember, it's coming back at you. It's coming back at all of us. So we do need to be forgiving in that respect. But we also need to be long-suffering. You know, we need to be careful about that kind of thing. Jesus said in Luke 17, in verses 3 through 4, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And notice the rest of it, though. And if he trespass against thee 7 times... in a day, then 7 times in a day, turn unto thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. You know, Jesus warned against, in this verse and others, against judging others harshly. Someone who's struggling with sin doesn't need our gossip. They don't need our backbiting. They don't need our swellings and tumults. They need our help. They need our encouragement. They need us to go to them and say, I see you're struggling with something, and I see it's not easy, and you're falling flat on your face too many times, but that's okay. We're here for you. And don't get me wrong, brethren. Don't misunderstand. I'm not condoning sin. I notice what this verse says. He repents. He said, if he trespasses and 7 times a day and 7 times turns in again and saying, I repent, forgive you. It's not someone who's saying, well, this is not a problem, when they do have a problem. And they're trying to justify some sin in their life. That's not what we're talking about here. This is somebody who's struggling, and they know they're struggling, and they keep trying. They just keep trying. Well, by all means, let's help them. Let's don't push them down any further. Let's lift them up. Try to help them deal with a problem and a difficulty in their life. That's the Christian way. That's the Christ way. That's how we should be. And you know, for the problems that we all have, do not we want the Lord to be long-suffering with us? I do. We all hope, I'm struggling with this. We want God to be patient with us. Well, brethren, let's be patient with each other. That we need to be patient with each other. When someone's struggling with something, be patient with them. Don't push them down. Don't gossip and backbite. Help them. Go to them and encourage them to do better. But notice Ephesians 4 and verse 2. I've got that up there. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another. How? In love. That should be us, brother. Long suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know, we need to remember that our words are important. You know, our words are important. They make a difference in people's lives. And we'll be judged by them, as the passage that we looked at earlier. We will be judged by our words. So our words are important. And we need to strive to make our words patient and kind, as this verse talks about, and not judgmental and harsh. Now, Jesus is willing to forgive our sins. Well, we need to forgive those who are struggling. We need to help them instead of tearing them down. And there may be somebody today that's struggling with something. We want to encourage you to repent. We want to lift you up. We want to help you out and encourage you to come, and we'll encourage you and pray for you and encourage you to do better. And if someone has never become a Christian here, we want to encourage you to do so. While you have the time and the opportunity, come forward in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We'll be glad to help you in any way that we can. If we can help you in any way, let your needs be known as we stand and sing the encouragement song.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you one?